This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Prepare at last his return. Your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll slay you in the end, my friend.
Hello and welcome to Tribulation Farce, a Left Behind podcast, Book 2, Tribulation Force, Chapters 11 and 12. I am your Tribulation Force, Tim Lanning, and joining me, as always, is Bruce Barnes, a.k.a. Jennifer Chee.
Oh, I'm Bruce Barnes today?
Today you're Bruce Barnes.
Guys, I'm so sweaty and gross. I'm so sad and lonely.
Yeah, I just called you that because your tie's all fucked.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well,
Jennifer wears
me.
A full suit and tie for each and every one of these.
Yeah, I do. And it does not fit well.
Does not fit well.
No, I look like I got, like, shrunk down while wearing a suit. And it's, like, big and floppy on me.
Yeah, but that's fine. We're recording this, like, 2 days after recording the last one? I have no idea.
Yeah, we've recorded... This will be the third Trib Farce we've recorded this week. Because we're trying... Well, partially because we are trying to get ahead because we're going to be out of town for a little bit. But also, I'm like, I just need to... I feel like after this chunk, I can rest more.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't... I obviously want to know what happens next, but, like, the previous chapters were just so annoying that I'm like, we've got to get back into the meat. And guys... Meat is back on the menu.
Meat is back on the menu, boys.
Finally some good fucking food in these chapters.
The problem is that, like, I said this last week, and this week it proves it. We've hit the part of the books that I unironically think are good. There is a million things that are bad with them.
What do you mean by good?
They're fucking fun to read.
Okay.
You know, like... I do think it's going to be ironic when they do turn us into hardcore Christians.
It's going to suck really bad when we get reconverted because of reading Left Behind. Because
reading them all praying on the fucking floor like freaks is, it still, you know, plays my little heart
really?
To it a little bit. Because
I was horrified at that part. I'm like, these people are so crazy.
Yeah.
This is what I used to look like.
Yeah.
Tim, be careful. You need to guard your heart.
I think...
Just like Ray for going in to see Hattie.
Jesus Christ.
You gotta keep the arrows of the Lord away from your heart.
God, I hope when Christians walk into our home, they're like, this is a place of evil. Like, I don't think about that. Well, it's probably because it smells like weed and cat's piss sometimes.
It does not smell like cat piss in
here. What if we're inundated? We can't tell.
The smelling like weed, that's valid. also the fact that we have mini skulls and skeletons around.
We have a dragon.
Like, at various times of the year, there's, like, pride flags and stuff around.
We need to buy a big pride flag.
We do. Well, we have a nutcracker with a pride flag.
That's all we need. Allyship done.
I think we should just keep him out all year long.
Yeah, that's true. this is my pride nutcracker.
Yeah, it is. No, I do think our house has some very dark-sided energy for the Christians out there.
We have a lot of Christian books.
That's true. We can lure them in.
Yeah.
Make them think that I'm not making fun of them.
I did Pokemon stuff today, and they were talking about, you know, shaving their head and dealing with the sun on their bald head.
Oh.
From that conversation, it got to, like, razors and things like that. And then, of course, they talked about the various razor brands for which podcasts advertise.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, yeah, it's really interesting and good to hear this out in the wild because, like, my job is being a podcaster.
Right.
So we talk about this type of stuff. So it's great to be like, oh, you like this brand. You used to like this brand, but then they changed.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? It's the brand that we stopped doing ads for because they gave money to some bullshit.
Interesting. Yeah.
Which I do forget. Was it Harry's?
Harry's? I think so. Yeah. I think so. Dollar Shave Club? Guys, I don't remember.
Whichever. One of them's bad, but they're probably all bad.
Maybe they're both bad.
Maybe they're all good. Nothing's good, but...
Now, what does this have to do with our podcast?
So, I was talking to them, and I was basically like, how do I pitch the show of, like... Yeah, one of the shows about D&D, but the other one is about the hit Christian book series Left Behind, but we approach it... As in from a non-religious aspect. And
yeah.
They're like, oh, I read those books.
Oh, see, yeah.
But, like, they were not religious either, so it is... They're out there. In the wild.
So if you're Tim's new Pokemon friends, hello.
Hey, what's up? Chapter 11.
Don't look. I thought you were going to scream at me.
No.
So the big cliffhanger from the last episode, you guys, in case you don't remember, is Chloe is going to talk about meeting with Bruce and to find out if he did send those flowers.
Flower Watch, 1995.
And it's a nothing burger because
right,
Chloe's like, yeah, I kept trying to passive aggressively bring it up and right. He didn't pick up on it.
Yeah.
And I did. I was like, another point for Bruce Barnes being autistic.
Well, he didn't. So he had nothing to be.
No, I know. I'm like 97.5% joking. But it is just like, yeah, she's like, yeah, he wasn't picking up on my weird, like, oblique references to this.
Wow, your social cues. Wow, Bruce.
Yeah. she specifically is like, I kept trying to get the subject back onto loneliness. Like, oh my god, you guys, please leave him alone.
She sounds like such a psycho.
She sounds super psycho about Bruce in this section.
Yeah.
Like, they're all so sure that it's Bruce.
Right.
It's like, did we literally not just have a situation where Hattie, like, sent fake stuff? Why are you like, well, it has to be Bruce?
Slightly later.
You're very stupid.
Rayford finally is like, maybe it was Hattie.
Bruce is specifically like, later. I did not do that.
These people are stupid.
They're very dumb.
But I kind of got to give it up because it's just so funny for like Chloe to be like, oh yeah, so you're like sad and shit, right? He's like, yeah, I am.
Yeah, I'm pretty sad.
Anyways, First Thessalonians, yeah. Isn't this an interesting thing? Yeah, but like, are you looking for anyone? I imagine Chloe like bent over his desk, pushed her chest out.
Yeah, but she only like has like a very minimal sliver of cleavage though, because like anything else is that's like not pleasing to the Lord.
I dropped my tea on my chest. If only someone could help me.
My hard nips are burning now from this hot tea.
There's too much Pepsi on me.
So yeah, at the end of the section, they're like, okay, well, maybe we'll bring it up in the group and like, but maybe we'll be able to read between the lines and find out why he did it.
This is insane.
You still don't know that he did it. What's wrong with you?
This is why I'm like,
Chloe, I'm still not. You're still right. Not really back.
I feel like your stupidity, Chloe, here has infected Rayford. Because, like,
she's
officially started her new job, right? She's going into work. She's being dumb. It was like, we've got to trick Bruce into admitting he did this.
Yeah.
And Bruce is just like there palming like sweat off his hand, being like eating.
He's like juggling all his Bible commentaries.
Right. He's taking a bite of a big sandwich as the tomato falls out in his lap and things of that nature.
Yeah, it gets like on the Bible.
And they just shake their heads like, he's so thirsty for Chloe.
Yeah, he's so horny, obviously.
I'm on their side a little bit, but like, I think they're doing a great job.
I'm not.
Of making Chloe just the number one bad bitch, biggest pussy in all of Chicago.
She's the only one.
She's
the only girl.
She's the only girl that Rayford's immediately like, oh, I hate you.
Yeah.
There's three girls in this book.
It's Marge,
Chloe,
and Hattie. That's it. Well, there's technically Alice, but I get a feeling she's not going to be very important from here on out.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
And obviously we explicitly left Miss Z out.
Yeah, sure. Miss Z.
Yeah.
So Buck is still meeting with Bruce when Rafer and Chloe show up for their Tribulation Force meeting. And right off the bat, Bruce wants to get everyone's permission to put everything going on in their lives on the table.
I love that Bruce is like, maybe listening into, he's bugged their homes or something like that.
No, he's
Or maybe they're just giving off such weird energy. He's like, there's something strange in the air. I mean, I guess he even references Chloe being like, you said some pretty pointed yet vague.
Yeah, he did. Like, things. You were being pretty weird yesterday when we met.
Right.
Yeah. So Bruce is like, okay, you know, I'll start out. I'm still feeling pretty guilty that I was, you know, the like assistant pastor of the church and didn't get the memo on being saved or whatever. But I'm still feeling this pull that I've got to travel and unite what he calls the quote-unquote tribulation saints.
Yeah, and I did kind of forget that Bruce is like, God damn it, it's all on my shoulders. I gotta do this shit.
Yeah,
and
he's like literally not thinking about Chloe like at all.
Not at all.
Like not even a little bit. Which, is there anything like more embarrassing than like trying to like let some, like than trying to let someone down and they're like, I was not interested.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about
no,
you at all.
No, not at all. And he I'm sorry, Chloe. He has to save every person on the planet. That is how he feels, which I kind of got to give it up for.
Where he's going to make up for it.
The three main characters are in a book while Bruce is like in the tribulation. He's like, yeah, motherfuckers.
That's true. He's I like, got I have shit to do.
And then
busy.
Like later when they talk about the job stuff, it's like, you got what? We're in the fucking rapture like, tribulation. You guys have to work for the Antichrist. What do you do? Of course you do. What are you saying? We need all this fucking money to buy bullets and silos and dirt movers.
Yeah, we need this. We have to build a bunker, right? You think that doesn't cost money?
You do. You two dumb fucks. You two dumb fucks.
That is actually a great point, too, the whole money thing. They're like, we don't care about money. It's like, but maybe your church is going to be persecuted, might need it so you can stock up on huge jars of peanut butter.
You guys have...
And, like, MREs.
Theoretically, 3.5 years, because everything kind of works based off that. And then later...
Oh, yeah.
Bruce basically tells us... The first time, you know, the thing that we keep is either later in this chapter or
I think it's in the next, it's one. Next chapter. Yeah, yeah.
But he basically says the thing that we've mentioned, which is Rayford's like, oh, I'm afraid I'm about to go see the devil. And Bruce is like, no, you're not. That's in 3.5 years.
Yeah, he doesn't have the devil. The Carpathia doesn't have a devil in him yet. Yes. But he will.
He will.
In 3.5 years.
I'm like, guys, you got to make this. You have to take both jobs.
Yes.
You have to make $1 billion, $1 billion. Yeah. And you have to start squirreling away money and things like that. This is.
And they need to get cash.
Yeah. Well, they need gold.
They need gold. You're right. Because what if they change? Wait. What if they change the. Well, oh, man, we're getting ahead of ourselves. But can I please just say really quick. Tiny spoiler for things that are happening in these two chapters. They are going to one world currency, the dollar.
Let's go.
But are they going to reprint it and like put Carpathia's face on
Probably.
It? Probably. Well, they're going to like put all the like biggest hits of the tribulation. Yeah. They're going to put Steve Plank on there for some reason. They're going to put the cardinal.
Here's the pilot from that third chapter that died or killed himself.
And you'll be able to collect it. It'll be kind of like an NFT situation. So I don't know. Yes, you're right. So they probably should just get gold.
They should probably get gold and, you know,
maybe a Rocky dinar. Maybe that'll come back.
Oh, that's just like that's a thing, right?
That's a yes. Look up Rocky. People thought that they could make money off their Rocky dinar.
I'm a Cougarant guy. I don't entirely know what they are.
Oh my gosh!
But they keep coming up in both the hit show Succession and other things.
Yeah,
but yeah,
we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves.
Much
here,
like my parents, who I've said before, literally raise money for the end times. By giving money to a prophet so that the wars that will come, they can support them and get money and food and stuff like that. So in this instance, I do agree with them for these characters in the book, but not for real life. Because it's all fake.
So after Bruce has his whole, let me get what's weighing on my heart out.
Right. I feel like shit.
Yeah, I'm sad. I'm lonely. You know, I'm a slob. All those.
Any of you want to hug me? That'd be so sick if you did.
But yeah, then like Tim referenced, the conversation turns to Buck and Rayford's job offers, and Bruce is like, straight up, you gotta take these jobs.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because they're like going back and forth, and it seems like it got very passionate, very heated. Where they,
I just imagine they're all like. Like yelling over top of each other.
You fucking son of a bitch! And I thought it was like such a fun way to frame this whole situation, which is everyone agrees that they should take the job, except for themselves.
Yeah, which is pretty funny.
Buck thinks that Ray should take his job, and Ray thinks Buck should take Buck's job.
Yeah.
You know, being the mouthpiece for the friggin' Sauron and shit like that.
Yes.
And I thought this was like a kind of interesting, caveat idea of like, is our pride getting in the way?
Right.
And
like, how do you get these messages?
And, you know, the things that we have been saying is so true. And like, I wanted to hit Buck over the back of the head with a big comic hammer of like,
like what was,
hey man. I don't give a crap about your journalistic integrity. Who gives a shit?
We're in the end times, bitch.
There is no future. You stupid idiot. Jesus is not going to give it. Even Jesus does not give a crap about your journalistic integrity.
He doesn't give a toot.
He doesn't give a toot. Not a single toot.
And Buck is like, Rayford, being close to the president could really be helpful, dude, because we know that Carpathia is trying to set up this, like, media situation.
Right.
So that's, like, being near the president might be the only way you actually know, like, but where he is and where he's going.
I thought his phrasing was so funny and stupid, because he's like, you know, we know he's going to buy all media. So, like, we need you, Ray, to be in the airplane so we could have one person inside the media knowing what's up. And I imagine the entire office just, like, audibly, like, creaked and stared at Buck. It's like, take that job.
That's you,
that's
bitch.
That's you, bitch. What the fuck are you saying?
I honestly didn't even think about that at that part.
No, that made
really
me fall.
Funny.
I was in a rocking chair on our back. We have many back porches.
We have two. We have two. We have one up top and one at the bottom.
I was.
And don't listen, guys. This is not that fancy.
It's so fancy.
It's not. It's actually somewhat jank upstairs.
It's so jank.
But it's a deck, and
one
it's upstairs.
One day it will fall.
It will. No, don't say that.
I don't trust.
We don't have time for that.
We only have 7 years in this house anyways. So.
Yeah, exactly. Before the rapture. Well, sorry, not before the rapture. But before the great, what did they call it? Not the Great Awakening.
Are you talking about the Iraqi or Iranian Nephilim?
No, the glorious appearing.
Oh.
The Lord coming back. So Chloe is like, hey, dummies, I think you should both take your jobs. Shit. What?
Damn.
And, you know, Chloe brings up, she's like, this isn't about the president. It's about Carpathia. We have to get close to Carpathia. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. And one thing I do love, and again, jumping ahead, is that we do find out that Carpathia knows Ray is a Christian.
Yes. So we find that out later.
I think, like, obviously they don't know it here, but I think, like, kind of taking the whole meal, you know, commenting on your $130 fixed menu situation here, mm-hmm. You know, ahead of the dessert, so to speak. That analogy made sense, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting, the concept of Ray being near Nikolai while Nikolai knows he's a Christian.
Like, he's trying extra hard to, like, zap into his brain. Like,
or does
he even try not
to zap? And he
maybe
just
he
has to be,
care.
Like...
Then why does he want him so bad, though? Because obviously Carpathia and
Chloe
want
Because he's, like, a main
Raver.
Character of the book. Nikolai actively wants to get more screen time in this book.
He's
like me in my high school yearbook, where I would just, like, show up at shit. And that's how I got in it, like, 27 times.
Oh, my God. That is... You're so special.
Your brain is so special. That is my most Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite reference.
Yes.
Is like, not the sport thing, but like, isn't it crazy that I'm in my yearbook 27 times?
Like, yes, Tim. What do you think? That's so impressive.
I'm the number one quirked up white boy.
I'm a cool guy.
I'm a cool guy.
You're the number one quirked up white boy at your Christian school.
Right, right. That had like,
and how many kids were in your class?
60.
Okay, that's actually more than I thought it was going to be.
Whatever.
Buck is still not feeling good about taking this job, and he says here,
I'd have to sell out every journalistic principle I have.
But then Chloe comes back with such a whammy. And those are more sacred than your responsibilities to your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Whoa.
Damn, son. She got your
ass.
All right.
Is Chloe back now? Like, I feel like this is Chloe
back now. I mean,
Chloe,
she's definitely being smart. She's being smart. She's being very smart here. So
I think Chloe's back. I'm sorry.
She's mostly back. It's just that.
Well, she'll be back at the end of this meeting 100% because they know about. Well.
No, because here's the thing. She's a Christian now. So she's never going
to
be as good.
Again, we have to grade on the curve.
I know, but I'm just saying,
Rayford's
she's
back.
Dropped so low.
Rayford's back as hell, in my opinion.
Yeah, Rayford is back. Rayford's back, and Buck is not being too bad either, actually.
Because goddamn, I hate that.
I mean, which makes me very upset.
I'm so pissed.
Yeah, I don't even know who to be. I guess I'm just feeling residual anger to Chloe.
Yeah, I think you would.
I'm being a hater.
Yes,
right now.
I think you would agree that Chloe is back. Later.
Once
you calm down a little. Once you stop being so emotional.
Yeah, once I stop being hysterical, then I can stop doing girl-on-girl crime against Chloe.
Fool. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The way they try to figure this out with their deep, 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 like, Christian shit.
Oh, my God.
It moves you. You know what I'm saying?
Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
Okay, let's get into it. Because... Rayford is like, I don't know, guys. I still feel pretty weird about everything. And Bruce is like, I know what we need. We got to get on our damn knees and pray.
Let's go.
It's different. And
I'm on my knees. One time at church, that I'm on my knees song came on because someone was singing it and it's not the radio.
It came on because someone was singing it.
Because someone walked on the stage, started playing the guitar. Someone was being so rude. And this is one of the mega churches I went to, so we were like a mile away from the front, so we could do
right.
fucking line.
Because you were like in the like beauty section of the Walmart when the stage was
no,
like
this
in
is
the
at,
deli.
No. This is at Indian Rocks.
Okay.
That, my Walmart church is not a mega church.
What? How's that possible?
Because the part of the...
He's at a Walmart!
But it's not the Walmart isn't the entire okay. fucking, whatever you call it, sanctuary?
There's like other
There's
areas.
Other parts.
They've changed it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big open space.
They had a skate park.
Oh my fucking God. I become Independent Baptist again, and I'm like, that's satanic.
That's so bad.
You should not have a skate park in a church. That's dark-sided. The Lord hates skateboards, because I hate skateboards, and the Lord hates them too.
Punish Baptist church for their skateboards. I feel like saying that my church and a Walmart had a skate park, like, extremely dates me, and yes, also makes me sound insane. Because, like,
yes.
your thing of, like... Women can't teach and you can't clap.
Yeah.
That's obviously insane, but that's like within the Venn diagram or within the bucket of crazy Christianity, right? Or
right.
like fundamentalism of any religion.
Or like when people think of like, oh, yeah. conservative Christians.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, you're all buttoned up. Like, you just play piano and organ
right, exactly,
music.
Exactly.
Like, all that stuff. It's not taking into account the cool Christians who have skate parks at their
go.
Church.
Let's go. Yeah, man. Get sick ice cream and lattes up church. Church rocks.
My God.
Our pastor was funny. Shout out. You're cool.
Well, that's how they get people. That's
by being good at their jobs.
By being interesting and funny. Like, my church is like, you have to go here because your family went here.
God.
And it doesn't fucking matter if the pastor is
where are you going to go? The 9 churches down the street?
Yeah.
Like, Jennifer lives in the middle of nowhere. There are 39 churches.
They're really...
Like, all over the place.
Like, 39, like, Baptist churches.
Yeah.
Like, not even counting other denominations.
Anyways, basically... We were in the balcony a million miles away, and this is Indian Rocks,
where
the cool kids are, and someone was just like being so rude about this nice, busty young woman saying that she was going on her knees.
Oh, and no! They were making sexual jokes?
There was some innuendo. And while I think they were wrong and they're in hell, I do think the church should stop singing that song.
I get on my knees.
Because I do feel... The Dirty Dirty Boys have claimed the knee content.
Yeah, she's causing the young men to stumble
by
thinking about BJs.
In a post-Fansley world, we can't sing about being on our knees. I'm sorry, they won this
Fansley?
Battle. Yeah.
What's that?
I decided not to say OnlyFans because it was like another brand. It's another brand.
Oh, I see. Okay.
There's like Fan House, there's Fansley, there's OnlyFans.
I don't know any of these.
You don't
things.
Know any of these?
No.
It's fun because one of them is like doesn't do nudity. And
what?
I never know which one it
Why
is.
Why would you go there?
I think it's like Fan House. I'm like cool cleavage, I guess.
I can see that outside.
Yeah, it's like
everywhere.
Show me your stuff.
I see that every day.
I see that every day.
So, okay, we got to get back into this part because I think it's going to be a little – I'm curious because I feel like your reaction is very different than mine was
yeah.
in this section. So they all get on their knees and start praying. And there's a theme here in Rayford's thoughts that is so interesting to me. Tim, can you read this thought from Rayford?
Rayford felt so small, so inadequate before God that he could not seem to get low enough.
This is such a thing in
mm-hmm.
evangelical Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, aren't you a dirty little rat? You
yeah.
little cockroach in front
yeah.
of God? You're disgusting.
The most evolved form of a Christian like this is going full worm mode.
Yeah, like, I'm a worm!
I'm just a dirty little worm. And, you know, hey, the vibe of, like, I cannot believe I'm touching a higher power and I don't deserve it. I think there is something to that, right? Of like, you know, I need to hide my face from the glory of the Lord.
See, to me, this is just like such like abuse priming language.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's like you're nothing. You're nothing. You owe everything to this being, this power.
Yeah.
And there's mouthpieces of this being in power
now,
that tell you what to do.
Now, what if this being in power is a dragon? Wouldn't that make sense?
I mean, yeah.
So can't you A to B to C to D?
Yeah,
to mean like
dragons are cool and sexy though.
Yeah. I watched a TikTok today that implied that every society on Earth has invented dragons, and there must be something like deep in our evolutionary vibe to be like, dragons are scary.
Big lizard.
Big lizard wing.
Oh shit.
but yeah, so this is them all four of them, including Bruce, because he brings his chair around to their side, praying, sometimes silently, sometimes not so silently.
Some people, Bruce, are weeping. Like, seriously, Bruce cannot stop crying.
Right, I'll give you guys one guess. Who goes bitch mode first?
Bruce, like, I feel like his face is just covered in a crust of, like, salt from all the tears that he's constantly, like, oil and salt.
He's loudly crying, I hope one of my friends invites me over to watch a movie. I have a sick popcorn. Move, Lord. Bapperson posted in our Discord of, like, the guy looking at a moth meme.
Yes,
and it's
like,
is this a prayer request? But it's just like gossip.
Yes. Oh my God, that's a classic.
That's a classic.
A classic in the church. Like, listen, again, church is boring. Like, that's the only way you can, like, make it interesting is by subtly gossiping via prayer request. Yeah.
But I think part of me now does sort of have a crop that wishes it was ever watered by being such in the presence of God.
Mm, you want to have a spiritual experience.
Right, because I never felt like this.
That's why, okay, this makes complete sense now, because I constantly was like, I'm a worm, I'm a worm,
I thought I was a worm, but...
But I would, because, like, when you're... Especially, like, in, like, youth group settings, like, my church itself, because it was so, like, buttoned up, there wasn't a lot of, like, super emotional
stuff.
Right,
good point, yeah.
But, which is the thing, is, like, youth events, you could get a little bit more emotional. Like, we would go on, like, a retreat, and people would, like, raise their hands up, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna try
Let's
that.
Let's go.
I'm gonna try that and see how I feel. And, like, everyone's doing the same thing at the same time, and it's right. Like, wow, what an experience. And I think the other reason why I don't miss that feeling is because I can feel that feeling, and what it is going to K-pop concerts.
True.
Because we're all worshiping the boys, the girls together.
Right.
Like, there are other ways to have transcendent experiences.
That's true.
And I like them better.
No, sure, for sure.
I like BTS, where they're like, you should love yourself and value yourself versus God, who's like, you're a piece of shit.
You're dirty.
And you should burn in hell forever. Yeah. But I'll let you go to heaven if you act right.
Yeah, I mean, this is the most religious, in a sense, that these book series has gotten. Because it is all the main characters crying on the ground, going from a classic, I'm on my knees,
you know,
my hands together.
Yeah, the classic prayer
to,
with the hands.
Oh my God, I have to prostrate myself down completely. And Ray even says that he wants to, like, sink into the floor.
He wants to cut a hole in the floor. It says, literally, Rayford wish he could sink lower into the carpet, could cut a hole in the floor and hide from the purity and infinite power of God.
I mean, come on. That's good shit.
I think that, another thing, I think I've talked about this, at least, like, partially, with my youth group at church, I got basically the award for being best Christian.
Let's go.
Multiple years in a row.
I think we posted
a picture of this. But all, like, the reason that I got those awards was because I did, like...
We need to hang those, by the way.
We should hang them. That's true. Is that I did, like, extra work. I would read all these books and things,
yeah,
like, on book lists. And I remember one of them called The Knowledge of the Holy. And, like, just, like, imagine, like, 14-year-old me, like, reading these books by, like, dusty-ass theologians that are about, like, damn, isn't God wild? And me, like, trying, like, okay, this guy is obviously feeling a thing.
Yeah.
I gotta feel this, too. Like, basically, like, brute-forcing myself into feeling this way.
Right. And, you know, I think it's pretty clear, not pretty clear, but I think it's likely that if we felt that thing, me and you'd have five kids, we'd have a huge boring house in the suburbs of the South somewhere.
We'd be living, laughing, loving.
We'd be living, laughing, loving. I'd hate you.
And I would hate you too. Like, we'd be like, haha, we want to kill each other every day, but it wouldn't change anything.
I hate, you know, marriage is hard.
Marriage is so hard. We fucking hate each other's guts.
I don't think that.
I wish every day that I could just run away.
I'm gonna drown my kids like the every story that's so bad. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that was ever in the cards for us.
No,
for a couple reasons.
Because, like, again, like, even when we were younger and, like, fully in it, there were, like, sides that's like, this is not gonna work out.
Right. And, you know, I did joke that I wanted to have five kids because I was looking at our friends getting married.
Right.
They're like so crazy. So I was like,
we
have
to balance them out.
Right. We have to quiverful the quiverfuls. But regardless, I do think there is something interesting, and I am curious for the folks who are reading along, because we checked our email again. We check about like once a month, give or take. Thank you so much, everyone.
Yes.
We sent them, and there were some pretty interesting takes. Someone asked what would happen if you got a transplant, like an organ transplant for someone that was raptured.
I don't know if that I've ever like considered that. Like, I'm sure somebody has dealt with that, but that's hilarious.
That's
like the thought of like, okay, this person's heart's just gone now.
Yeah.
Like, this is the, like, logistics that I think – this is where things start to break down.
Yeah.
If you start to ask – like, I really actually would love to ask, like, a legit Christian who, like, thinks this stuff.
Or,
who, like, fully believes this. I want to ask them that, like, out of nowhere. I do want to ambush them with this question.
Or on the flip side, right, of, like, a Christian that was raptured with a non-Christian's organ.
Does it just stay
died,
behind?
It would fall behind with their fillings.
Oh, my God.
You know?
There's so, just like, a fucking heart.
Yeah, exactly.
On their freaking chair.
Exactly. So all that to say is, like, there were some people implying that this is, like, kind of interesting, even though it's fucking crazy. This part, I'm so much more curious what people think, because so rarely do we get books dealing with such a direct, open vein, live wire of emotion.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, and I pretty much only read fantasy. That being said, I try to read good fantasy, you know, gay fantasy, queer fantasy, you name it. And this type of emotion doesn't come up. So I do think that is where I'm kind of coming from, both obviously from my dying flowers of not getting enough nutrients as a skeptical super Christian, but also as, you know, I can't separate that from myself, of course, but as someone nowadays just sort of feeling, seeing someone else tap into something, even though, you know, it's not something you believe.
So you
could I have gotten this if this was, you know, Gideon the Ninth and Gideon is tapping so deeply, or Harrow Hawk is tapping so deeply to Bone God that there was something there. I mean, obviously, again, to belabor the point, you can't separate yourself from it. So if Gideon was tapping into how big her sexy ass lesbian muscles are, I would be like, that's Jesus from the Bible.
That's the Lord.
Anyways, all that to say is I am curious what people who were raised less fucked up than us thought about this specific part.
Yeah, same. I think just, like, for me, like, I since – when I was younger, I feel like I didn't even, like, know anything about myself as a person until I, like, left that area because I was so, like, just accepted what was put on me. And so, like, it took me, like, a really long time to be like, but what do I actually feel, like, versus what has been put on me and what am I making myself feel?
Right, right.
So I just, like, I think that I'm – getting triggered by it. I'm like, fuck this. I hate it.
True. Yeah, I mean, I think we're experiencing the exact same emotion, but just
like from different sides. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Bruce acknowledges, like, after everyone stops weeping on the floor, he's like, okay, we just experienced something kind of weird.
Yeah.
So I think we need to seal this with a recommitment to God and each other.
Yeah, this is hallowed ground. We should take our shoes off.
Yeah.
Chloe, can I see your feet?
Just, you know, let me wash them.
Two buds.
let me cry your fucking for Christian reasons.
No
I am.
You calling Jesus gay? I'm not.
It's like, well, we don't have any water, so
I'm crying. It's fine.
Oh, I'll cry on them. Let me just suck them a little bit, like, just to clean them off for the Lord. No, that's actually extremely not what happens.
And that's disrespectful.
So
we need to start respecting Bruce more here on out, is my opinion.
I do respect Bruce because he's just like, I feel like Bruce is, you know, the meme of the, from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, where she's, the lady's screaming and the cat is just sitting there like, I feel like that's Bruce. Bruce's like, what are you guys fucking talking about?
You guys
about?
Are so fucking crazy.
Like, I'm just like chilling with God.
Yeah.
And you guys are thinking about fully different things.
I do think that, you know, when we talk about Bruce being like, I'm not prepared for this and yeah, I have to save every person. Also tied within that is like, you guys are so fucking crazy. I cannot believe you are being hounded by the Antichrist to run antichristnews.com. And I can't believe that you are now being hounded by the Antichrist to run Antichrist Error.
And President of the United States Error.
How the fuck is this happening? I'm just a dirty
Chloe,
boy.
Chloe, you're just a girl.
You're just a girl.
You're just here.
And Chloe, you are also here.
You're a girl and you're in my presence.
And I did kind of break the classic, like, book thing. It's like, sure is weird that all this has happened to us, which I always joke about because, like, of course, they make media
therefore,
about interesting people. But these are all random people together where some, surprise, surprise, all of them are being recruited by the Antichrist.
Yeah.
But God's doing it, actually. So,
Bruce basically is like, okay, guys, because of this special experience we all had where we were weeping on the ground, we got to confess all of our sins and secrets to each other. And Chloe's like, Finally. It's my time.
Because, like, this felt very weird and out of left field, but Bruce says the smart thing of, like, Chloe, you're kind of out of pocket the other day.
You're just
saying shit, so I think that we need to make sure everyone's okay.
Yeah, right. Well, because you said really weird stuff.
Well, no, I'm like, in the last meeting.
Right? No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. She was saying weird stuff in the last meeting because she was like, can you talk about sexual ethics in the tribulation? So they... Finally, basically, Chloe just comes out with his, like, did you send me flowers? And he's like, nope. I did not do that.
He's like, I wish I should have because flowers are cool, but honestly, I never thought about it. Not that I think you're ugly, not that I wish I thought I did. Oh, I'm...
Yeah, it basically becomes very clear that Bruce, it did not even occur to him.
Right, because Bruce is older than Buck, and Chloe's a girl.
And Chloe's 20.
Right.
She's a child.
She's a little child.
Rayford and Buck walk out of the meeting and they're both like, man, I still don't know what I'm going to do about my job.
Right. I think it is funny that Bruce is like, we just entered consecrated ground. There's a burning bush.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. And then these two dudes are like, I don't know the fuck I should do,
man.
But the vibe, I think, still is they are getting in their own way.
They are. Because it is, like, I mean, obviously, from their point of view, there are problems with taking these jobs. Like, it's scary. And, like, for Buck, it's like, bro, this is gonna, like, fully blow my, like, credibility. This is against, like, everything that I believe in journalism.
Right. And, you know, everything we said before still applies.
Which is very funny to think about that, like, God is asking you to be unethical. Basically.
Well, again, God doesn't give a fuck about journalism.
Oh, my God. But still, shouldn't even God care about ethics? Whatever.
Well, no, a lot of this shit is made up. Like, in what part of our lizard brain think dragon scary? Lizard brain does not think that, like, it's wrong to take an airplane that the person you're covering.
Yeah.
You know, that's made up.
Yeah, no, like, not really, but because it's like this person has an influence over you. Like, that's pretty clear.
That's,
like,
true. Why would I buy grain from...
Like, it's going to affect you.
Well, I mean, sure.
Buck walks Chloe out of the church, and they're just like, damn, who fucking sent those flowers then?
Weird.
This is like, they do the thing where they, like, have, like, the tiniest little section, and then it cuts again to Rafer, and he's like, this must be the work of the wretched Hattie. That bitch.
Hattie has such a strange role in these books, and it's so good.
So funny. Yeah, Hattie is
She's like the bad Loki.
She's a queen throughout all of this. So the next morning, Rayford goes to meet with Earl, because remember that came up before. Mm-hmm. He was like, I can't come today. I'll go see you tomorrow.
I was confused by this, because I was like, wait. We're not going to spend another 45 chapters in this single day.
I know. Yeah, no, like, nope, they've moved on.
It's already 9 a.m. Let's go.
So Raper goes to meet with Earl, and guess who else is there?
Some guy I don't know.
You mean Leonard Gustafson, the president of PanCon?
That's such a fun name.
Leonard Gustafson. Yeah, they were having a good time of making some names up here. So yeah, the president of PanCon, his airplane company, his airline.
His boss's boss, his boss's boss.
Is just like there. And they're having a little combo. Obviously, like, Gustafson is just in the same way that Earl was, like, talking to him as if he's obviously going to take it. And Ray's still kind of like, but I don't know.
It's interesting how they have, like, a book of several straight shooters, and then they introduce, like, that to heighten the straight shooter, the guy.
Right.
And it's like, I'm not going to lie to you. We're going to hate to see you go, but we love to see you leave, type shit. Of like, you know, hey, you should take this job, and we're going to miss you. And Ray's like, I mean, I didn't say I was going to take it. But, like, I mean, think about it. They're gonna talk about how great you are at PanCon. That's great for us. We're going to lose you, but you know what? It's going to be great for us in the long run.
And he's literally like, don't make the biggest mistake of your life. Ray's like, already did that.
Oh my god. That was so funny.
And Gustav is like, he's like, what the fuck? And Earl like reaches out and kind of touches him. I'm like, oh, you know, he's like, we're Christian.
Yeah, the way that, from Ray's point of view, the chapter's like, Earl reaches out and touches the arm to basically say, this guy's a religious cook.
Remember that he's weird?
He's a crazy guy.
And then a real...
Oh god.
A real bomb is dropped.
Oh god.
Gustafsson's like, well, the other reason it would be good to take this job is... Isn't your daughter getting stalked right now? Liam's like, what the hell?
What the fuck?
How do you know about this?
Yeah, this is a dun-dun-dun. This is...
Extremely.
A dramatic prayer dog moment. This is where the book has decided to have something more of a traditional plot.
Yes, yes. Like,
good
wait.
For them.
Yeah, like allowing the reader to be like, now hold on.
Now,
how
hold
does he know?
Fucking second.
And I do think it's very funny. I think that all the like little plot hooks in this book are like, I would say at about a like third grade reading level.
Sure. Sure.
So straightforward. Because sure. I think they want the people reading it to feel good about themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I figured it out.
Absolutely.
This is what's happening.
Absolutely.
And Gustafsson like kind of like, you know, brushes off like, oh, I heard it somewhere.
It's
and
like,
Ray's
where the
like,
fuck did you hear
I've
that?
Literally not talked to anyone about this that's here. So
right.
How is
there's
this
like
possible?
Three people on the world that knows this.
On the
what
world.
Are you saying? Like, well, whatever. It was some memory. Who gives a shit? Anyways, you don't want your daughter to die. Take the job.
Yeah, he says, Rayford, you'd never forgive yourself if something happened to that little girl and you had a chance to get her away from whoever's threatening her.
Ray's like, so like, like, follow her to Washington, I get. Like that, Ray, that's kind of dumb, but whatever.
Yeah, so...
Crazy shit.
Very crazy. So Gustafsson finally, like, convinces Ray, like, listen, just do the Carpathia run and mm-hmm. then give your decision afterward.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, like, when you go on your flight today, how about you just hop on over to the White House and talk to everyone there?
Just give a quick
sense get a little interview in your clearances.
These chapters are so dense.
They are. There's a lot fucking happens in them. So, because, like, immediately from this, we cut to Rayford... going to the damn White House.
Right?
Like, he flies to Baltimore and goes, which is, I know it's, like, close, whatever. He gets to the White House.
I did, was like, how does he get from Baltimore to the White House? I know it's close, but
maybe he
who
took
drives
a train?
Him? Is there a
who
train?
Knows?
Is there a smaller helicopter?
And the person that meets him there says,
we have already begun the character and reference check, the FBI probe. The Secret Service interviewing.
Whoa. So they're looking into his ass. I mean, yeah. Good thing that Rayford's like boring as hell and
which
hasn't done any intrigues.
Makes sense. We
yeah, you got to.
That checks out. It's just the weird part is that he has not said yes.
Yeah, they're already just doing it. Which actually kind of makes sense, too.
That's true.
They would just like, do it.
Yeah, but I think we're supposed to be like, oh, we know you're going to say yes.
Yeah.
We made you an offer you cannot refuse.
And they're doing this specifically to approve him to fly the president.
Right.
And they're like, oh, but you've already been approved for Carpathia.
He's like, I can fly a union guy before I get the credit checks.
And they're like, yeah. Carpathia
fine.
Said you're cool.
And I thought that was kind of interesting that they made that like a plot point. But that makes sense to me.
Like, yeah, no, it totally makes sense. Because it's like, no, he's getting fast-tracked
right.
by Carpathia.
Exactly.
Now let's cut back over to Buck.
Yay.
He's checking in with Marge. We love Marge. And the news is out, guys. The whole world is going to the dollar for currency.
Let's go.
Within a year, as we
let's
mentioned.
Let's go.
So, shit, like I said, shit is happening
yes.
fast now.
Yes.
And they make a comment. Someone makes a comment that, like, a day hasn't gone by since Nikolai Carpathia has been appointed as, you know, Secretary General that something big hasn't happened.
Right.
So something is like, he doesn't have fucking time.
Almost like every meeting and every this, then the other thing is like, stay tuned for tomorrow. It's like, bro, you said the craziest historic thing is happening. What do you mean something else is happening? Check out.
You're blowing my mind.
Just wait for it.
Marge is helping Buck set up all his meetings with the various religious people, and she's like, yeah, I've got, like, inroads to, like, everyone except for the two kooks. Like, you're not really gonna do that,
right.
are you?
It seems like the two guys that blow people up with their fire breath at the Wailing Wall don't have fax machines.
Yeah, yeah, they don't have phones.
They don't have a PR.
You have to send a pigeon to them. and Buck's like, listen, Marge, it's fine.
It's cool.
It's gonna be fine.
I'm gonna go talk to him. It's like, well, where do, she had a funny line of like, well, where do you want me to have them send your remains?
We love Marge.
We love Marge.
We love Marge. Marge also mentions that CNN is going to be giving Zion Ben-Judah an hour on their international satellite to get the message out about the, like, results of his, like, Messiah report? Normal. Real, like, yes, this is what we expect from CNN.
Very, very normal to give CNN an hour on the Jewish Messiah. Yeah. A thing that has almost happened before, so to us, we're like, this is normal.
Sure.
Instead, no, this is crazy.
And Marge is like, I don't fucking care about this. And Buck's like, don't you think it's interesting? She's like, nah.
No, I've seen the Messiah. I think I recognize him. If there's really supposed to be somebody sent from God to save the world, I think he's the new Secretary General of the United Nations. Excuse
no,
me.
No, Marge.
Marge, no. You're under his thrall.
You're under his thrall. You love him.
You're going to get the mark of the beast, and you're going to like it.
Yeah,
no.
She is. So, Rafer then calls Chloe, and the phone tag shit. Rafer calls Chloe, who's like, hey, he's been trying to get in touch with you. Oh, also, by the way, Hattie told Carpathia that you're a Christian.
Ah.
And Chloe's like, oh, guess what? I got some candy.
From my secret admirer.
From my secret admirer. And Rafer's like, don't eat it.
It's like, wait, what candy? Oh, you know the super duper hyper specific candy that you always bought me whenever you would take an airplane to New York and you also had a certain sultry succubus go with you on said yes. airplane trips to New York?
Yeah, that's Rafer's like, hey. Meanwhile, Buck is doing journalism and he feels alive.
I had to give it up for him. You know, the boy likes
Good
to work.
Him. He likes
know,
to research. He has so many people that he has to interview. He's very, very busy.
Yeah.
And he's only got 7 years until the glorious experience.
It is always funny. Like, I'm so busy and I only have 7 more years of my life. I have so much to do. Fuck.
Yeah. And while all this is happening, Buck, is, of course, his mind goes to Chloe. Oh. This part broke my brain a little bit. The idea that their meeting might have been part of some divine plan boggled his mind. How he wished they had met years before and had been already together for the rapture.
Jack off motion.
You mean years before when she would have been underage? You fucking
Yo, let's
creep?
Go. Let's go.
Fucking creep.
Let's go. Buck's
She's
a pedophile.
Witty. Pedophile.
Pedophile alert.
Groomer.
Pedophile alert. Groomer.
Yeah.
Groomer.
Yeah.
You're canceled. That's so funny.
Like, why would you say that?
I just wish I married my 17-year-old girlfriend.
My lover.
Been raptured. And... too many thoughts just came in my brain of like, is there
horrible.
A loophole where you can get like legally church married to a child so that in heaven you can be the king of all pedophiles? I don't like to say that.
I think that's kind of like a big part of Mormonism's whole deal.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like the like FLDS. Like,
all right. Well, let's pull the religion should be illegal crank real
yeah,
quick.
You know what we think.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Rayford. He's on his way back to Chicago in first class. So this is like he's already gone to the White House.
They
back.
Are skipping time.
Yeah, man.
For the first time ever.
Thank
they
God.
Are barely telling us what they eat while reminding us they are getting some food here.
They are eating. And Rayford's napping in first class and kind of like, cause I guess because he's in first class, he's got the fancy TVs and
yeah.
the headphones and whatever.
It was weird when he's like, Rayford was dozing with his headphones on. I was like, Rayford wearing headphones is so weird to me. But
yeah.
It's broadly speaking the most normal thing on the planet in almost any time frame since the headphone has been invented, especially since the headphone has been invented for a TV-based airplane seat. But it is
yeah. –
it's so incongruent with my version of Rayford.
Yeah, I assume –
with his AirPods and being like his Beats by Dre's.
Yeah. I assume Rayford is usually either reading the Bible or staring straight ahead of him at the back of the seat.
No, I choked.
I choked him.
I choked, but
I'm
no,
proud.
Absolutely. I think he would assume the right thing that a man like him would do is to fold his hands and stare directly straight with an unblinking out of respect for the pilot.
I might be getting the story slightly wrong, but I think there was a story of Ron DeSantis doing that. Like,
that
going on a
out.
Flight from America to, like, Israel or somewhere and just fucking sitting there the whole time. Like, you are not right.
That's
You're
so
not
cool.
a human being.
Yeah.
That's, like, not normal.
If the pilot can't watch Cap'n Boy on the in-flight movie, then I can't watch Cap'n Boy.
Oh, Lord. So Rayford's kind of, like, dozing while the news is, like... A record crime wave sweeping the U.S. So I guess you get the answer on that.
Yeah.
That's still happening.
Yeah, that's still happening.
Because all the Christians are gone. It's only the evil people left doing crime.
Right, exactly. Because part of it is like, duh, there's a lot of crime. The rapture just happened. But it's really, there's no Christians.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no law.
But Rayford perks up a little bit because he hears Carpathia's name on the news. And the news says that Carpathia has asked the President of the United States to head up the whole Global Disarmament Verification Committee.
Cool.
Then they cut to President Fitzhugh giving a speech, and he says something that absolutely knocked me on my ass, which is, the United States has long been a keeper of the peace.
Mm.
Are you fucking kidding me? Have you read a book? Have you read a history book ever?
Yeah, the same way that cops keep the peace. By fucking curb stomping people who step out of line.
I like to keep the peace by assassinating heads of state in other places.
My best friend is the peacekeepers, the Pinkertons.
Oh my god. Like, truly, like... But this is, like, that's how... A lot of people,
right. Especially in 95.
In 95, they're like, we are the police of the world.
Right. And, you know, I'm not too sure to what extent things have been declassified, or not just declassified, but common knowledge, where, you know, I've said it before, how surprised I was that my college history, U.S. history classes, like, all right, we did a fucking another coup for, you know, a fruit company. You know, we killed a Democratic leader for, you know, this other company. It fucking sucked. I don't know if they were doing that to the same extent in 1995, but it blew my brain off in 2006, I'll say that. But I was too young to really know really what the vibe was then.
You know,
obviously, by 2003, things were quite more intense. But that was war and terror time and shit of that nature.
Exactly. So it was becoming much more of an issue that people were discussing.
My assumption, and as we find out, as time moves on, is everything's kind of been the same.
But this is the thing, like, this brand of evangelical Christianity is very tied in to the idea that the United States are the good guys.
They would write this now. If Left Behind came out now, they would say the exact same
line. Yes. And this is where it's like, no, is this a part of, like, Christian doctrine? No. Is this a part of evangelical Christianity's worldview? Extremely yes.
Yeah, weirdly.
After President Fitzhugh speaks, Carpathia also has a little thing to say about the appointment.
The United States of America will set the example, and no other country will take longer than they do to destroy their weapons and donate the rest. By the time the new United Nations headquarters is completed in New Babylon, the weapons will be in place.
I imagine it's... They're saying that, like, no one is going to take as long as the United States because the United States has so many weapons.
Right.
It's going to take us the longest.
I think it's a twofold statement based off some other things they say, which is basically you only have as long as America does because America has a ton of fucking shit. And if you can't, whatever country you're from.
Slovenia.
if you can't destroy your shit in the time that America does, you're fucked.
You're out.
You're out. You're glassed. Congratulations. You do not get the formula or whatever else. Well, I thought, which is a very kind of like interesting way to frame it.
Yeah. Back over to Buck. He reaches out. Okay, can we talk for a second? Buck reaches out to, and I'm quoting this directly from the book, Archbishop Peter Cardinal Matthews. Is that the way that his name is Peter Matthews?
Archbishop Cardinal Peter Matthews.
But that's what it. But it says this.
Yeah.
In the book, multiple times. Archbishop Peter Cardinal Matthews.
Cardinal is his nickname? He's always been the Cardinal?
The Cardinal.
Yeah.
Can some Catholics play?
Is that right?
Real? Is that right? That sounds not right. But maybe it's just like a weird thing.
Yeah.
But maybe it's these ding-dongs getting shit wrong about Catholicism.
I don't have my book in front of me, so I can't check.
Because the first time I was like, that's fucking weird. And then I saw it again. I'm like, I'm writing this down because there's no way this is right. But maybe it is. I don't know.
It didn't jump out at me.
Reach out. So he's trying to schedule an interview.
I like the idea that it is Archbishop Peter.
Well, I was like, is Archbishop Peter like a title? Archbishop Peter, Cardinal Matthews. But his name is Peter Matthews.
Can we just say Archbishop Peter Cardinal Matthews a few more times? Because it is.
That's what I'm saying. It sounds insane.
It sounds insane.
And I swear to you, it's in my version of the book.
So who knows?
So he Buck calls him. He's sleeping.
He's
sleeping. And his assistant's like, he'll call you back.
Yeah. So he's like, all right, well, let me know. Whatever.
I guess I'm going to call Chloe now.
I'll do whatever I want. I'm going to call my wife.
I'll make plans to hang out with Chloe.
Yeah, I have no more time before the end of the world.
And I need to see my girl.
Love her. Chapter 12.
Whoa!
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So Colonel Matthews gets back to Buck, and he's so impressed by his big cover story that he's like, you know what, Buck? How about you ride with me on the plane from Cincinnati to New York?
So Buck interviewed Colonel Matthews before, so he likes him, and Colonel Matthews is such a swarmy little guy.
Oh my god, they're doing like so much to be like, isn't this guy a motherfucker? Actually, they get into that more later. They do it more later.
Yeah, for sure. But I do love the idea that this is the only time you can talk to me is on an airplane.
Yeah. So Buck has to go fly to Cincinnati tonight so that he can fly out with the Cardinal in the morning. So he's like, I gotta hang with Chloe I leave.
He grabs Chinese food, brings it to Chloe. They eat, and then they have to go to the meeting. And then from the meeting, they have to go to the airport. So it's a very, very busy night.
They're so busy.
They're so busy.
While they're at Chloe and Rayford's house, Buck sets Chloe up with an email address.
That was so weird.
Yeah, that was really funny.
But, you know, it's the time,
and right? 99.5. I don't remember when I got my first email address. I definitely got it, like, after I had a, like, AIM account.
I mean, mine was 96 because my screen name was Toyboy10, and that means I was 10 years old with AOL. God. Boy, did the pedophiles love that.
Oh, they had to... Buck sets Chloe up with an email address. Rayford gets home and he like inspects the candy that got sent to Chloe and he's like, it's probably fine. It's like all wrapped up.
Look at it.
So they all eat candy. Then Chloe takes Buck to the airport
because
they're going to keep Buck's car in the garage. Like, again,
very strange plot point.
Don't need these logistics. Whatever. It's fine.
It's like they had to beg Buck to leave this car. I don't get it.
But it's more that they just want to keep hanging out together.
True.
But they're I kind of like that they are kind of awkward around each other. Mm-hmm. They still don't really know each other that well.
Yeah, because we get everything from Buck's point of view, where, you know, throughout the rest of this chunk, because Chloe takes Buck to the airport and they hang out because there was no traffic, so they got there way too early.
Yeah.
And this is before 9/11, so Chloe's able to go all the way up to the gate.
Yeah.
And so Buck, all he has to do is walk on the plane, nothing else. So, you know, she can hang out for as long as possible.
So they're just kind of walking around the terminal together. Like,
right.
So what now?
Do you like stuff? and they're just kind of like looking outside the windows. And yeah, we get parts where Buck is like, I'm moving too fast. I want to fucking smooch.
I want to kiss this girl.
It's so weird because I don't think they're legally dating.
No, I don't think they are either. There's something else. Because they talk about, like, Buck is like, we can't hold hands. It's too early for that.
Yeah, they say, we're not at the hand-holding stage yet. But I was like, eh, this is some weird Christian shit.
While this is happening, we get a quick cut to Rayford at home. And he gets a call from Earl because Hattie's looking for him there, too.
Jesus.
Hattie, calm down.
Hattie, haven't you done enough?
Back at the airport, Buck's flight gets delayed. Oh, also, just a little bit.
Oh, man.
Since they have extra time, Buck proposes a very strange cookie plan.
Let's go.
Like, what did you feel about this part?
I loved it. It's weird.
It's really weird.
So, like, they, at the airport, killing time. Hey, look, there's a cookie we can eat. Remember that time we ate cookie?
Remember when I wiped your mouth of the chocolate and then I licked it like a fucking freak?
Yeah.
And we, like, had just met each other?
Do you feel like a cookie?
Oh my god, it was so fucking sick. They were like, I do like it. They're like, let's be like nostalgic over something that happened 1 week ago.
Yeah, right. Hey, Jennifer, that's called love. I know that we've been married for so long, you don't give a shit anymore.
I like it. Like, it's basically the same to me as, like, when you're hanging out with your friends, you're like, remember when this thing happened, like, 20 minutes ago?
Oh, my God.
And that is funny and good to do.
I can't believe we've moved past this meme of us 4 months ago when I accidentally dropped a beer on the floor. Yeah. I mean, hey. Look for the good in it. Young love. All that good shit.
Yeah, it's cute or whatever, I guess. And Buck's basically like, hey, let's both, cause like, Buck's like, you wanna get cooking? She's like, oh, man, not really.
We
like,
just we had a fuck ton of poison candy.
And Buck's like, well, what if we don't eat it now? What if we save the cookie and eat it at the same time tomorrow separately from each other?
Yeah, it's like, I think I'm gonna have my cookie with my coffee.
Yeah.
And then Chloe's like, that's way too fucking early.
I'll be asleep still.
I'll be in my bed.
And then Buck's like, okay, fine. When do you want to eat the cookie? And Chloe's like, I think whenever you're in your most important meeting, that's when I want to eat it.
Chloe's back.
I know that. But Chloe is back with that. That is a great Chloe move.
Yeah. Just being like a little rascal.
Make him dance.
Yeah. Chloe. Don't give the pussy up easily.
No. Yeah. You got to make him do some embarrassing stuff. Mm-hmm. Like for sure.
And of course, since Buck is Buck, there's like some weird ass line about like, she will know never to dare me to things.
Right. Yeah. Like, you don't tell Buck to do some weird shit. I'm going to do it.
Cause he's like, I have no fear. And if you dare me to do anything, I'll do it. I'll eat dog shit.
For love.
Look at me bucking. It's like, I barely dared you to eat the dog shit. Like, oh, I'm crazy.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay. So the vibe, again, they're both going to eat their cookies at some point. But due to this zany plan, it's going to be during Buck's most important moment. And it's implied lightly that it'll most likely be on TV.
This feels like Chloe is doming Buck. Like, yeah. She's like, listen, I know you have a humiliation kink, so let's get it going.
There are parts where I have to unfortunately give it up, where they give Chloe this weird amount of agency.
Yes.
And like,
totally.
Kind of like playfulness, that they don't give to Buck and Ray. And again, the bar is low as hell. So I'm not saying that like she literally is a well-written character. It's just that like, they don't like women. They don't get them and they don't respect them.
No woman is going to be written well in these books.
But
this is not possible.
I really think Jenkins must have just cranked out the last 5 chapters, because these
like
ones
in a
are
like in a fucking fugue state.
Yeah, because these are like much, much, much more better, legible, compelling.
Yeah, maybe he was like falling asleep when he was writing.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, yeah, these aren't my best.
Yeah,
sorry.
Maybe LaHaye was like putting his nose in. He's like, yeah, like a teacher reading the first 3 pages of the last 3 pages of a huge essay. So Tim LaHaye is like, hey, we should have. Make Chloe more annoying. It's like, okay.
All right, fine.
It sucks, but here we go.
So let's get back into the whole cookie situation. Because we're not, if you thought we were done with the cookies,
no,
we're not done with the cookies.
The weirdest cookie thing hasn't happened yet.
No, it's not. So Buck makes them both huff their cookies.
Hell yeah.
Buck's like, let's both smell the cookies
now. Smell it.
And he says, remember this moment. I'll be thinking of you while I'm gone.
As he cups her cheek.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. And he also says fragrance is such a memory enhancer.
Which is funny because, like, maybe they didn't know this at the time, or I'm sure they did. Fragrance is the number one memory enhancer.
I think they definitely did know this at this time.
They don't trust science.
This is the first time they've had, like, real, like, physical contact. Yeah.
This is PDA.
But cups... Close cheek. That's like way more intimate than holding hands.
I just did it to Jennifer's face and I'm like, yep.
That's weird.
Weird.
That's weird, man.
Weird.
I slightly pulled away when you did it for a second.
Like,
Number one, your hand was hot.
No, my hand is hot. Yeah, no, I've been just rubbing them.
Yeah.
It's not to be too blue, but it's like how people do oral before fucking.
That's weird.
And
man.
I'm like, that is.
What is more intimate?
What's more intimate? I mean, now that we should talk.
We don't explain ourselves. We don't explain ourselves to you. Okay?
The Lord. But that being said, I mean, my brother said it. It's like, what?
That's weird. That's, and he's right.
He's right.
I think cupping someone's hand, like, face is very intimate.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, I mean, maybe I'm a little bit, I'm not, like, the most touchy person, actually, like, except for with people I'm close to.
Like me.
I'm very touchy with Tim, but I'm not very touchy with other people. And, like, I don't even like it when people, like, go in for the hug when I don't know them really well, honestly. I'm like, I don't like this. So, I find what Book did distasteful, but obviously Chloe likes it, so it doesn't
They're into each other.
They're
legally gay. Like, they're courting.
But why would you do that and not hold hands?
They're not at that stage.
Oh, my God.
But, like, touching someone's... I feel like if we're not careful, we're just going to be repeating – we're going to need a little feedback loop and say the same things over and over again.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And we're not wrong to do it. It's just that these are so chunky that we're like, that's fucking weird. Touching face, weird. It's, not weird. It's weird based on you not touching
intimate.
Hand.
It's really intimate. It's like, don't act like that's not a very intimate thing to do.
Right.
That's all. That's right. All I'm saying.
You're essentially like putting your sword under her chin and lifting her chin.
Exactly. Like, it's inherently horny.
Like, that's not sexual. It's like, shut up.
Yes, it is, you idiot.
Idiot. It would be funny if, like, Buck lightly wrapped his hand around her throat and said, who's a good girl?
Wow. I'm burping. Buck is on the plane. They're done at the airport. And we cut to the next morning. A little sliver of a section.
Let's go.
Where
this is so good.
It's really funny.
Again, unironically, this section, very small, rules.
River wakes up and he sees the cookie in the bag on the counter.
And he's like, okay, she got cookies.
Okay, hell yeah, she's got cookies.
There's only one left. Maybe she left it for me. I could eat a cookie.
And he's like, no, okay, it's the last one, so I won't take it. But he can't resist himself, and he's got to do a little prank. He writes a note that's like something like, I couldn't resist.
Thank you for the cookie.
Thanks for the cookie. And then on the back says, just kidding.
Yes.
So we're going to put a pin in that. We'll be back to it.
Yeah. I mean, no spoilers, but obviously, I mean, no spoilers. It works perfect.
It's
Rayford,
it's perfect.
He never misses.
Yeah, Rayford is the king.
He's the king.
So the next morning, Buck is on the flight. He's in first class with Colonel Matthews, who is described as being beefy and jowly.
Perfect. I imagine him. He's like the guy at the D&D movie at their like sentencing. Like,
Yeah,
he's also in Game of Thrones a couple times too. It was like, great character actor. Just like,
yep.
We need a jowly Brit man and perfect.
And we learned a few revealing things about Cardinal Matthews. Number one, he wants champagne as a little pick-me-up.
He's so cool.
Which is, this is the second time they've like talked about having champagne at breakfast time on a plane. Because remember, they gave Buck the champagne. So it's like, okay.
Symbolism.
Tim LaHaye, Jenkins, do you think that people often get champagne at 8 a.m. on a plane?
I mean,
I don't feel like people do that, even though I think on record as saying time is fake in airports and on airplanes. You are allowed to drink at any time.
I mean, how are you able to say that with a straight face as a journalist and integrator haveter?
Yeah.
When you've watched all of Succession where they be having champagne all the time.
I guess that's true. Maybe it's just that I'm too poor and I don't get what it's like.
No, I mean, I don't like champagne and I think it's a psyop of like, no, it immediately gives you a headache. So I don't really think that people like it. It's just a thing.
I like champagne.
You're lying
it's
to
good.
Yourself. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? Too bubbly.
Not everyone likes it. It's okay.
Yeah.
But we get more info about Cardinal Matthews. So here are the things you can take to make your decision about like what he's like as a person. As I said, he's beefy and jolly.
Mm-hmm.
He drinks champagne for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Buck sees on a tag that he checked four bags. And he mentions that he has an expensive and nice, like, bag, like, you know, carry-on bag and laptop.
Yeah.
So this is a man who enjoys the finer things in life. And can you blame him?
Can you blame him? I do have to give it up to the writers for not giving this extremely coded man a little dog to
talk about. Oh, but yeah, I do. Like, honestly, it did feel like they were trying to be like, look at this homo.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of feels like that. Or just like this man of excess. Like,
yeah, it's very like he's eating his sweetmeats and growing fat off the labors of the yeoman.
100%. He's a real Job of the Hutt.
Very much so. Very much so. And I agree with
that. A Job of the Hutt / Baron Harkonnen.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That type of guy. But, you know, Carter Matthews, he likes Buck. So they're, you know, they're chatting. And he's like, listen, I'm going to let you know. I already know that I got the votes.
Yo, baby.
In fact, Carpathia has already started calling Cardinal Matthews PM. And Buck's like, what? Like, that's your name? Peter Matthews? That's what I'm saying. He, like, specifically says, like, oh, like, for your name? Like Peter Matthews? So his name is Peter Matthews.
Right. And the Peter Matthews's aide turns around and, like, rolls their eyes.
Yeah, yeah, because right? they're sitting in front because obviously the aide can't sit beside the Cardinal. Well, they're beneath that.
This one next, this makes sense.
I know, it's fair. But yeah, but I feel like there's a little bit of the undercurrent, even though
sure.
it's not fair.
Sure.
Apparently, Carpathia has started calling Cardinal Matthews PM, which stands for Pontifex Maximus, the Supreme Pope.
So this guy is essentially becoming the king in the Warhammer universe, or the emperor or whatever, and I think that
the god emperor.
Yeah, it's like you're now my prelate.
I actually, the first thing I thought of was Geodis, the god emperor of the United States. What the President Trump, they would call him Geodis.
I've never heard of this.
Really?
Yeah.
They talk about Chapo as a, like a joke.
Geodis?
Geodis, God Emperor of the United States.
All right. I'm going to fold that one in. That one's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Cardinal Matthews is on his way to being Geodis of the world. But more importantly, Cardinal Matthews says, Nikolai has much more in mind for my papacy than merely leadership of the Holy Roman Catholic Mother Church. Okay, calling out to all Catholics again. Is it normal that he says Holy Roman Catholic Mother Church? I just don't know.
I do know that Catholics only worship Mary. I do know that.
Yeah, that, if I learned that, anything yeah. at church growing up is that they worship Mary and they pray to the saints.
Yes, exactly.
They think the saints are God. They don't even
like, they don't like God.
No, they don't even care about God. Like, they don't read the Bible. That might be a little true.
That is true, actually.
Yeah, I do feel like evangelicals read the Bible the most.
The way that we...
And maybe understand it the least.
Yes.
The way just because they're not trained.
The way that we, like, make fun of our Catholic friends that, like, you don't know anything about the Bible. I'm like, duh, good.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Do
you think... They shouldn't just let normies read that shit.
Yeah. Jennifer and I do agree on two things. One, they should have never translated the Bible outside of Latin, and society went down when men stopped wearing hats.
I think that's true.
That's so true.
I think that's true. Honestly, I do feel like normies maybe should not be allowed to read the Bible.
That's such a fun and maybe positive. Well, I don't know.
It's
yeah.
Well, because it's... Listen, people don't fucking know what they're talking about. They're big dummies.
If you didn't do that, then you would not have evangelical churches.
It'd be better.
That being said, we would have a crusade every 13 years.
We would be, like, maybe the entire earth would be, like, in the thrall of the Pope. So maybe it's okay. I don't know.
Well,
I'm not on either side of the Catholics or the Protestants.
Yeah, me either. That being said, like, if you're going to... The world's bad, so they're going to kill millions and millions and million peoples in senseless wars. Who am I to say that maybe they should have, like, kept going in the 30 years war and just won the damn thing?
Maybe they should have.
And then, yeah, they wiped out, like, most of the planet. But they figured if we were one global community is kind of my idea.
God, I think it'd be, like, way better if we were one global community. I wonder if Nikolai Carpathia is going to do anything about that.
I wonder
that.
If that's going to come up.
Hmm.
But this is kind of what we're talking about of, like, oh, my God, this is a huge deal. This guy's going to be the Pope. But he's already, like, coyly teasing that there's even going to be a bigger reveal.
Yeah.
And we just learned that there's one fucking currency while our main characters are being pressured into being several main characters of, like, the universe.
Yes. Yeah. Good times.
Good times. This book rocks.
Yeah, though, like, honestly, like, I was getting so annoyed in the last chapters, and I was truly, like, about to cry, like, thank you, God, for giving me these chapters. I needed them. I mean, they're so juicy.
I said it again. We are outside of the ironically fun parts of the book. It's legitimately good, parentheses. It's not, but to me, it's Twilight.
I was like, this is good to me in the way that the Real Housewives are good. Yeah. Where it's like, this is garbage. I love this shit.
This is good to me the way that, like, Hunger Games and Twilight and shit like that is it's a universe with inherent consistency and it's fun.
Hmm.
I love to learn how the Coens became vampires.
I love the slave one. Tim is like, this is a fantasy series in a world where Christianity's real.
In a world.
In a world where Jesus is real.
Oh, yeah, right.
So back with Rayford, he sets up a call, or he sets up a meeting with Hattie for, because he's already going to go meet Carpathia.
Ring the goddamn over a scheduling bell. Jesus
yeah, they
Christ.
Fucking love it. But I really like when he calls Hattie, like, to set this meeting. We alluded to this earlier. Hattie's like, I'm seeing someone, Rayford.
Oh my god.
Which again is like such a
yeah, because Ray's like, let me meet you before my big ass meeting. Like, well, I think that ship has sailed.
And I think I was literally saying earlier that it's like the most embarrassing thing to like assume someone's into you, but conversely, it can also be a way to big dog someone. And Hattie is big dogging Rayford so hard right now.
I never really know what the term "the exception to prove the rule" is means, and I only use it incorrectly. But I do maybe think that this is the exception that proves the rule. It's embarrassing to assume someone's into you. But unless you fucking nail it.
You have previously absolutely been into this person.
Hattie has 7 years to make Rayford feel like a little worm, which he likes.
He's on record as loving it. God. So I do assume he's chubbing up just a little bit right now. He's embarrassed. He feels weird about it.
Well, it's implied he does later. We'll get there.
Hattie's fucking rules. Once again, she's owning Rayford's ass. It's so really funny.
It is kind of funny that, like, he doesn't say anything on the phone of, like, you fucking bitch.
Like, what? I'm not trying to.
What are you talking about? He's like, no, I need to speak to you in person.
Nope, okay. She's just getting him. So Rayford hangs up, and him and Chloe are at home. Like, Rayford's about to, like, head out to the airport, but they're watching the news in the morning, and they catch the press conference that's happening of all the religious leaders. And this is where Buck is. Buck is at this press conference.
And I got kind of confused for a second because I was like, we're not in Israel. What's happening? Oh, oh my God.
Yeah.
This book that we love is moving a mile a minute.
Yeah, this is the religious confab.
New York.
This is not Israel.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, we can see Buck. There he is on the stage. He's like, kind of like at the edge of the stage. Like,
I love that they're like, whatever the stage is, it's so packed that Buck keeps accidentally stepping down.
Yeah. And then I guess it must not be very tall though.
Yeah. Which I kind of love because I've, you know, when you're like in choir or whatever, it's like, man, I want to be in the middle, but God, so fucking tall.
But Buck is intentionally, we find, trying to keep himself to the edge of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get back there in a second. So, the CNN anchor says, speculation here is that the religions of the world are going to make some fresh attempts at addressing global issues in a more cohesive and tolerant way than ever. I thought that the word, bringing the word tolerance, I feel like that was such a, like, trigger word back in the day. Like, I feel like now in the same way that, like, woke is, like, the word that makes all the right-wingers, like, froth at the mouth.
Yeah.
Tolerance was that before.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. I think that the one world religion, the one, you know, everyone hashing things out vibe that the book has, because again, there's no Christians here, yada, 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 is so, so interesting. And I almost think it deserves its own, like, bonus episode of, like, it's so meaty and juicy the way they talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really hard to dig deep because it is such a complicated a mess of a shrimp scampi of, like, is this only happening because these are all cults legally, right? Or is it so quaint and fantasy because why would they ever respect these other non-Christian religions? Yeah, I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, totally. So then, the press conference, like, actually starts, and Cardinal Bishop Peter Matthews, whatever the fuck his name is, he's talking, saying boring shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Rayford and Chloe see Buck bring something out, and Rayford's like, what is that?
Is that a tape recorder?
Is that a little pimp? It's for that, I think you should leave heads out there. It's the cookie bag.
Let's go.
And Buck takes the cookie out and takes a bite.
Yeah.
On stage.
Let's go.
Where everyone can see it.
Jennifer, you put the word sigh.
Yeah, there, like.
When obviously this is a dabbing let's go, no, not a sigh. No. Thank you.
I book deserves to be executed for doing this.
No.
And it actually is pretty, it's actually really funny that like Chloe has got him down, like so down bad.
Right.
That he's like, I'm going to eat a cookie on stage.
No, as you said, this is like financial doming, but like in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Let me read a little quote from the book now. Chloe matched him gesture for gesture, and Rafer noticed she was smiling and crying at the same time. You got it bad, he said, and he left for the airport.
That rules.
Like, all right, you two freaks.
Because they say, like, a very strange, intimate thing, and then Rafer's like, gay, and it walks out. It's so good.
I just took a sip of beer right when Tim said that, and I almost sprayed it everywhere. So now we're back to Buck. He's finished his cookie stunt, and things are actually starting to get interesting at this press conference.
Right, and I do like that like Buck was like, man, I'm crazy for this one.
Yeah, like, I can't believe I did that. I'm so down bad.
But people don't ever really look at, you know,
well, that's what that's what Buck was saying. He's like, no one pays attention to, like, the edges
right.
of... Except some people do. And if this were in the time of Twitter, someone would be like, this dog eating cookies.
Right. This is the... This,
this bitch eating cookies.
This is the Starbucks in the shot era, right?
Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, luckily, we need to go back to a more beautiful age.
A simpler time.
Yeah.
When you could eat a damn cookie on stage and not cool. and not get friggin' owned on Twitter for it. Let me read an excerpt also. They were announcing not only an effort to cooperate and be more tolerant of each other, because again, remember, this is the religious confab. This is the press conference for that. They were announcing not only an effort to cooperate and be more tolerant of each other, but also the formation of an entirely new religion, one that would incorporate the tenets of all. Dun, dun, dun. Yo. One world religion. Oh, shit.
That's, I mean... This is probably the least believable part of these books.
Like, really? You really think everyone's just going to be like, oh, okay.
I think it's cool. Like, it's so, quote unquote, like, othering of other religions that, of course, they're like, okay, fuck it, whatever.
Because, like, Christians don't think that that shit is real.
Right.
Like, they're like, well, you can't really believe this. So, like, you just, like, switch over.
And I think that, like, the book pointedly... basically has a Catholic along with, they mention everyone else in their, like, quote-unquote regional guard.
They also specifically call others a Rastafarian there. Right.
So there's – and I think that's very, very explicit in their choice is they don't pick, like, one of the biggest religions. They pick a very, you know, tangent one, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes, exactly. Like, to lump them all together with
right.
that.
Right. The one that you get in trouble for when you buy that hat from Party City.
Right. Right.
Which, again, like, don't buy that hat. They're right to say it. But it feels very, like, isn't this quite
yeah,
one of them?
Yeah, like, what
we,
do you...
We see the people that... Catholics to us, or and Muslims to us, Jews to us. They're just like those weirdos that, like, pray and jack off on anime statues. Like, it's just, to us, it's the same.
It's the same
and,
thing.
And, you know, again, don't want to belittle Rastafarians at all.
No, I'm saying, it's, but this is their viewpoint of it.
This is their viewpoint of it, is, I think most people agree, Rastafarianism is not a huge religion.
It's a small group.
Right. So, it's picked for a reason, right?
Yes.
It's such an interesting, but... pointed choice.
They should have brought up, like, Zoroastrians or something.
No, they could never bring up Zoroastrians because they're the OG. And they...
Oh, Zoroastrians actually are the OGs yeah. of, like, where a bunch of, like, Christian shit got their ideas
the original
from.
Monotheistic religion. Let's go. Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't, like, say there was someone that believed in, like, the Greek gods or something stupid like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think... I don't know. There's no real reason to critique it.
They don't talk about Mormons at all.
I know, right? Like...
I wonder why. I feel like they should.
And yet another thing of where... 1,000,000,000 words could be spent of, like, why do they choose
right, like,
Catholicism and Rastafarianism. I am not intelligent enough or learned enough
and they
to
do,
know.
But. And they do bring up Islam later. Like, that is referenced because of the whole Dome of the Rock shit.
Right.
We'll get there.
And they're like, it's cool.
So then, yeah. So Cardinal Matthews is explaining all this stuff, and he says something that, man, set out all my, like, evangelical Christian – alarms.
We will unite under the banner of the global community faith. Whether we believe God is a real person or merely a concept, God is in all, and above all, and around all. God is in us. God is us. We are God.
This is literally, like, I remember, like, being taught, like, people who think that they are God. Like, that's, like, the most evil thing. Mm-hmm. Like, that, like, how twisted are they that they think they're God? But you're a little worm. How could you ever
how
be
dare
God?
You? I read this section, like, three times just to basically try to, like, parallax my view on it of being like, I'm reading this as a former evangelical, I'm reading this as an evangelical, and I'm reading this as someone who has been to a Unitarian Universalist church at least twice.
Yeah.
So my most charitable reading of it is this is their way of saying all of these things in this sentence are true. That is not how grammar typically works, you know, from a literary standpoint. Oddly enough, it's the final point that is the capstone.
Yes. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was just trying to digest the we are God. Is the we are God as equal as God is in us or around us?
Or is it building up to that as the real point?
And I think the answer, don't waste your brain cells, is no shit. Mm-hmm. It's them saying, we are God. The Christians are gone. Therefore, what else is going to happen is all religions are going to go buck wild and just decide that we are the center of our own personal universes.
Yes.
It is such an infantile and insane assumption of how human nature works. Because, like, human nature is to invent religion. I mean, religion is fake, but we all invent it, or it's very real, which is why we invent it. It's as real.
It's
as
something.
Dragons,
yeah. Maybe the concept, like the ideas behind it.
So yeah, you know, obviously it's not worth the breath. They think that anyone who's not a Christian just assumes they're God, right? Like, they're one step away. I don't care that they've been going to a mosque their entire life, and their grandparents did as well. They are half a step from being like, well, I guess I'm God.
This is in the same vein to me as Christians are like, but if God's not real, why wouldn't you just murder everybody?
Yeah.
Like, this is like the same, like, to them, like, this is the only way to see the world. And if you don't see the world in a Christian way, then, like, obviously you're going to immediately be like, well, I'm God.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Like, and then this is like how shallow and, like, uncharitable the view of evangelical Christians, you know, is, like, towards other people. They're like, well, it's very condescending.
Very, very, very.
And it's like, I am sorry, but actually, you are the stupid ones, not us. You are the dumb one.
Yeah, it's such a strange feeling because so much of, like, what Nikolai Carpathia, as we've said before, is good, but it's all wrapped in this very, very toxic package. And I don't think it makes sense for there to be one religion. Do I ever think it would happen. That's kind of the point of religion, right? Is to divide you.
Yes. And, like, to have your in-groups and your out-groups. If everyone's in, who's going to be out?
Exactly.
It makes – obviously, I don't even feel like we have to, like, argue this to you guys. Like, obviously, it just doesn't make sense. So, Carl Matthews is talking about this shit, and, you know, the thought comes up, but how is this going to affect the whole Pope election thing going on? Like, how is the global community faith going to work when Catholicism exists? And Matthew says, we will elect a Pope, but these leaders will serve the global community faith and be expected to maintain the loyalty and devotion of their parishioners to the larger cause.
It's really confusing.
And here this is where we get the like autocratic side of it.
Right.
It's like, well, we're going to elect all of our little sub people and they will be expected to keep everyone in line.
Because it feels like the pitch is you can have your cake and eat it too, right? Like, you can be Rastafarian, you can be Catholic.
But it's all part of the bigger
church. But it's all the same thing. And it's insane. Like, I think that, but it's insane, but it's also like, I think you're supposed to see the slippery slope. based on what LaHaye and Jenkins say, yeah. right? Like, it's not supposed to, that's one thing that is fun about covering these books, is like, there's so many things in them that don't make sense because they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Because the authors don't think they make sense.
But at the same time, though, like, it's kind of funny, because this is a situation where, like, I kind of agree with you guys, but we actually have fully different right. viewpoints on it. In that, like, yeah, to me, all religion kind of is the same.
Right.
But I don't think any of it's real. You guys think Christianity is the right one, and these other ones are all the same because they're all wrong. But right. I'm like, no. I mean, it's the joke of atheists being like, hey, Christians, I'm almost the same as you. I just believe in one less God than you. I don't believe in all these other gods, and I don't believe in your God either. Uh-huh. You know? To be a real, like, Reddit atheist.
Let's go.
But I kind of feel that way myself. Sorry.
Are they wrong?
I mean, how different, like, at the end of the day, like, you can boil these down to a belief in a higher power of some sort. Yeah. Not every religion or belief system, because then you get into ones that don't have gods, and yeah. that is different. But it is kind of funny.
Yeah.
To definitely. Be like, I sort of agree with you, but for, like, completely different reasons.
And there's kind of, like, the vibe of, like, well, what do you guys believe? And it's their basic saying is that, like, we believe in the basic goodness of man and, like,
yes.
kind of like doing the right thing. It's kind of like that golden rule stuff, which, you know, I think if they take this at face value, all religions be like, all right, we do agree that we're – I mean, I don't think – other religions necessarily think that we're all good people.
No, I don't think so either.
Again, that's so infantilizing and you know, condescending to just assume
yeah.
that only Christians think that we are born sinful or whatever.
But also, like, isn't – like, do you feel like your – I feel like in my church growing up, the idea that – humanity is basically good, like, they would get so mad at that idea, like, yeah. no, we're not, like, how dare you think that we're basically good, that's such an evil thought, we're actually all horrible.
So I think it was both, weirdly, because it was kind of like a vibe of, like, humanity is basically good because God can't make mistakes, but it was the original sin that's tainted us.
Well, that's where it, like, starts to get pretty, like, you know, mushy, where it's like, God made us, and God is good, but we're all evil, so did God make evil? No, that's Satan's fault.
No.
Wait, but are you saying that Satan has more power than
God?
But
God made Satan.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Shut up. Interview over.
So while this is happening, Buck, you know, you guys, Buck is there. Buck's and he can't help but ask a Buck question. And he asked the cardinal, how does this tenet of the basic goodness of humanity jibe with the idea that the bad people have been winnowed out? How did they miss possessing this basic goodness? And Matthews is like,
"Wow, you bitch."
But also, like, again, this is all forgetting, too, like, all the children are gone.
Right, because the whole point here is they say that all humans are good and the people who were raptured were bad.
So therefore you're saying every baby was bad? Like, how is everyone just, like, glossing over that?
Yeah, I mean,
like, people presumably lost babies and children. So how are they just like, yeah, my baby was
whatever.
Evil.
Well, I had a bad baby.
I had a bad baby.
Every baby's bad. Yeah, I mean, that's the weird thing, right? Is like I said before, is that how do you critique a book like this for a quote-unquote plot hole versus them just not respecting humans? Like, they're like, this is not yeah. a plot hole. This is what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. Matthews is like, okay, I'm going to answer this. Everyone left has this basic goodness. And let me use this as a segue. This basic goodness is found in greater measure in no one other than United Nations Secretary General Nicolae Carpathia.
Yay. Woo!
We love him. And basically he's like, yeah, I'm not answering this question. He's like, let me segue instead.
Buck, you're dead to me.
You are. Yeah, I'm so mad at you. So Carpathia takes the stage and he answers some sensitive questions.
Right.
About what's going to go down in Israel specifically. Which, the number one question is, will the Jewish people be able to rebuild their temple? Carpathia says, yes, they will.
Yes, they will.
And we'll make it happen because we have spoken with the Muslims, all of them, and they've actually agreed to move the sacred section of the rock to New Babylon. Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. Yeah, that was weird.
Compromise reached.
It was like, we're going to move the Dome of the Rock and then, like, all the other parts that make the Dome of the Rock special to New Babylon.
Is no one else freaking out that the UN is going to be in New Babylon? Because Babylon, like, people talk about Babylon like it's a place of evil.
Right, people are not this stupid.
They're not this stupid.
And, I mean, yes, we're brainwashed, but, like, they are saying these very specific, like, all these people grew up on the same, like, Kool-Aid that we did. They would not think this is good.
It'd be like, we're building the UN in New Sodom.
Exactly.
And everyone would be like, that sounds kind of shitty.
Which, again, it is neutral. Who gives a shit? It's not real. But...
But the connotations of Babylon, exactly. Like, are not... The whore of Babylon. There's that's a phrase that people know.
There's not a whore of Cincinnati, except for you.
Oh.
Not you. But you, listener. That's you.
And that's a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
They've got it all figured out.
Yeah.
But Carpathia then says, I would like to say that we clearly are at the most momentous juncture in world history.
Tell me about it.
With the consolidation to one form of currency, with the cooperation and toleration of many religions into one, with worldwide disarmament and commitment to peace, the world is truly becoming one.
Let's go.
And the Christians were like, we hate this. Ooh. That's the number one thing we don't want.
I hate this part of the expanse.
Yeah, the Christians see a coexist bumper sticker. Like,
yeah, I mean.
They hate it. They do. They literally hate it. Like, evangelical Christians hate this shit.
Yeah, I mean, like you said before, if I'm in, I'm only in because someone's out.
Yes. But great news, everyone. Carpathia has even more news.
Yay.
The UN is changing its name.
Okay.
Now, it's going to be known as the Global Community. Yay! We love it! Global Community Faith, the Global Community. Right.
I like the Global Community as a name, but weirdly changing the UN to the Global Community, I thought sucked.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
Global Community Faith makes sense. Global Community, like... But you're not the community.
Going dot, 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 and then seeing the global community being the, like, fascist overlords. That makes sense. But I don't like this middle ground here for whatever reason.
So the press conference ends. Like, on his way out, Carpathia stops to hug Buck.
Cool.
And he's, like, surrounded by all of his freaking bodyguards.
Yeah,
and
like, you got good news for me, buddy?
And Buck's like, stop. No, you're going to make me look so impartial if you keep hugging me like this.
My journalism!
Oh, so funny. After he extricates himself from the embrace of the Antichrist, Buck catches up with Cardinal Matthews because he's confused. Because before all this happened, he was like, hey, watch out for a big announcement about the papacy. And he's like, I didn't see anything. And... That's when Carl Matthews is like, oh, I thought you were a smart journalism guy.
Dumb bitch.
Couldn't you tell from the Secretary General's statement that there will be a need for a head of the new religion? What better place to headquarter it than the Vatican? And how better to lead it than the new Pope?
New Pope.
So you'll be the Pope of Popes. Matthews smiled and nodded. PM, he said.
I mean, this is like five jumps, man.
Yeah.
This is a bit
much. I've already seen this show. It was called The Young Pope.
Thank
it
you.
Kind of sucked. Remember?
It was bad.
Was there a giraffe in it or a zebra? What was that?
What was it? Kangaroo.
Yeah.
What a weird show.
So before Rayford gets on his flight, because Rayford still has to meet with Carpathia. Mm-hmm. So this big press conference has happened, and Rayford's about to get on the flight to go meet with him. And he calls Bruce because he's stressed. This is what we referenced this earlier.
Yeah.
Or Raver's like, I feel like I'm going to meet Satan. And Bruce is like, no.
No. Well, actually, first Rayford, only if you're encountering the Antichrist in the second half of the tribulation would you actually be dealing with a person who was possessed by Satan himself.
So, yeah. So we have confirmed that Carpathia is currently in his first Pokemon form still.
Yeah.
He has not been indwelled by the devil just yet. So he's, and I think that even Raver's like, what? So he's just like a demon
like
or something?
Like a lesser demon
like
or something?
Like a lesser demon.
Oh, that sucks. I don't respect him.
And anymore. Bruce like doesn't even like respond
no.
to that.
No. I mean, I think they don't have an answer about what the Antichrist is for good reason. It's weird. It's confusing.
Because it doesn't make sense.
How dare you. But he will be the devil soon.
So this happened before he got on the flight, and they cut to Rayford arriving at the UN office where he's gonna meet with Carpathia. But first, unfortunately, he must meet with the wretched slut Hattie.
Oh no.
And A shock of evil horniness runs through Rayford the second he sees Hattie. They talk about, like, Hattie's looking good. She's got a tan. Oof. She's got nicely tailored clothes.
She doesn't need it with those curves, though.
Yeah, she's looking good. And Rayford's like,
I love that Rayford is like, still. This place must be evil that I just got a chub by looking at this hot younger gal.
But luckily, as soon as Hattie opened her mouth, he was brought back to reality. Her diction and articulation were more refined, but this was still a woman without a clue. And he could hear it in her tone. They're like, listen, you think Hattie is all, like, cool and stuff, but she's still a dumb bitch.
She's still a dumb bitch. She's an airhead. She's a slatter. She's
fucking stupid.
All these things.
And Hattie tries to, like, make friendly small talk. Like, oh, like, how is everyone? And Rafer's fucking pissed.
He's like, Buck and Chloe are everyone, you dumb
man. Yeah, those are the only fucking people you know.
Yeah.
But then most
of them, what's new with you, though? What's new is that you and your new boss have invaded my job and my family, and I seem powerless to do anything about it.
Wow. Cliffhanger ending. What is Hattie going to say back?
No, I didn't.
I didn't say that.
No, you're
that.
Wrong.
I didn't do
you're
that.
Wrong. Chunky, chunky, chunky Fs. Delicious Fs.
Yeah, really chunky. Lots going on.
A lot going
on. I'm so glad that we're finally getting some movement. The one world currency is happening. The one world religion is happening. The
global community officially is happening.
It's happening. Disarmament's happening. We're
doing it. We're doing it. It's crazy that we were talking about, like, they have to have a time jump, but, like, the past 72 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're like, no, we're just going to do it really fast. Don't worry about it.
I guess that's both, like, proof that they have to have a time jump because they're doing everything in these 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, is this book the course of 4 days? Maybe. I don't know. Probably not.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just feel like, again, like, we're getting, like, we're in the second half of this book now. We are beyond halfway done, which means I need to make sure I got the next damn book.
Yeah, I passed by that local bookstore we were talking about with my Pokemon friends, and I was like, no, too weird to go in.
Yeah, no, you can't do it with new friends. Do you want to know what the next book is called?
Okay, let me see if I can guess.
Yeah, can you guess?
Because
I was wrong. Like, I did not remember this was the next
book. Yeah, the middle section of all the books are fucking crazy. Is it like Absolution or something weird like that?
It's not. The next book is called Nikolai.
Oh.
Which I fully forgot about.
That kind of rocks.
Yeah. Let me just actually real quick. I'm going to read you guys the titles of the next books. So we're currently on Tribulation Force. Next book, Nikolai. Then Soul Harvest.
Let's go.
Then Apollyon. I think that's what you were kind of remembering. Then Assassins.
Let's go.
Then The Indwelling. Then The Mark.
Indwelling is when he becomes Satan.
Yeah. And that's as far as this book has.
And then it's like, here's all the kids' books.
Yeah. You guys want some teen books?
They rule.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Is this a VHS called Have You Been Left Behind?
We have to watch this.
Based on the video that New Hope Village Church's pastor Vernon Billings created for those left behind after the rapture. This video explains what happened and what the viewer can do now. So they literally made one.
Yeah, we knew that. We have to.
I didn't know they officially made like a left behind branded one.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I don't think I knew that. Well, we got to find that. If you guys can give us any direction of where we might find that on the internet.
Like, earlier we got several juicy ones, so we'll have to remember them. Maybe like, can you send us those links again? We forgot to put them in Google Doc.
God, man.
Yeah. Man, things are so juicy.
They're so juicy. What a crazy ass section. I'm so grateful for it. I needed this.
I'm so in, unironically, ironically, bitterly.
All of it. All of it.
Any way that you can be into it. The way that, like, Naruto Revuto is into Twilight is the way that I'm into this, which is kind of strange because, like, we are about this. But
this is how I am about my Lifetime thriller movies, and where I'm like, they suck, but also they rule.
And I'm like, it's not that bad. I mean, right? Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on patreon.com/contenthole. It is the Patreon that supports what Jennifer and I do holistically as content creators. And more specifically, it's the thing that lets us do this show. We also cover things that aren't the show on there. Again, it helps us make more fun content for you, the listener. You're sad that maybe we don't cover as many shows. We cover more things there.
Mm-hmm.
than we used to. And we're so thankful that you let us do that. You can follow us on Twitter at TribFarcePod or at Instagram at TribFarcePod or email us at TribulationFarce@gmail.com. Again, we really appreciate all your emails, even if we don't reference them obliquely or otherwise. We read them.
We literally sat down before recording this and read the emails.
Yeah. And we're like, cool. Hell yeah. That's a cool TTRPG. You mean a lot to us, as we say every week. It really helps us to tell a friend, to rate us, to review us. I would love if we could get some more reviews. We're at like in the 60s. I'd love to get to at least 100 by the end of the year.
666.
We need to get to 666 reviews. Let's see. It's June 17th. Let's say about like June 19th. I know you're hearing this well after that.
Yeah.
But that's your fault for not paying attention.
Yeah. You should do too.
You're reviews. The bridegroom that didn't trim your fucking wicks.
Wow. That's a deep cut.
I mean, there's so much about the rapture that's about that shit, though.
That's true.
Anyways.
Like a thief in the night.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.